happy music. Thanks, Bob.
Wow. This is great. This is happy.
Give you a little happy music there. Mike Fouché from the Daily Line, always complaining about the
bummer
sad
town.
Bummer music that yeah, we play know, before right? his segments on Jeez. Wednesday. Well, we were out yesterday.
So it's Thursday. That means it's happy music.
That's right.
That's great.
I missed yesterday. Thanks for rescheduling because my son had his performance of Grease, which we'll get. I have a huge review of it later
in
the
you
show.
Know,
later in the show.
You know, that was originally about, I think, Sen High School.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that Summer Nights was originally Foster Beach.
There's a whole, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but my uncle was the original director.
What?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. I'm glad he did not show up last night. Let's just put it that way.
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it way wrong. The kids were great. Let's just put it there. All awesome. Right, Mike Fouché, let's talk. There's a lot to talk about tonight. I'm glad that we were able to reschedule because we've got Springfield news, county news, and also, of course, the city of Chicago. Why don't we start with Springfield? We'll just go in order from state
yeah,
to
right?
county to local. Okay, so Governor Rauner today makes the move to say, I want to call everybody back. Let's get an emergency session going on here. The summer session is special session. What does this mean? What does it mean? I mean, because we've heard this has almost become nothing about it is special in the way that this is just the way that Springfield yeah. works each and every year.
Well, the big thing is that from now on, anything that's going to be passed, any budget that's going to be passed is going to require a 3/5 vote in both houses, okay? In the past, it could just pass with a majority. Now mm-hmm. it needs to be 3/5. So it's a little harder in order to get it through. The other is, you know, it's just the truth is that most of these legislators, this is not a full-time job. You know, they have other stuff to do. And this is a pain. I mean, it's not great, you know, to spend more time there and away from whatever it is that they were planning on doing otherwise, you know, whatever other job that they have, this takes a big bite out of them.
Yeah. You know, I used to be one of the people in town that would be like, get back to work. If you didn't get the budget done, get back to work.
Right.
Get back down there.
Right.
And I feel like this time around, because of the strange way that the session ended in politics, where a budget proposal was drafted, it was
right.
passed through the Senate.
Right.
It got to the House, and the House sat on it.
Right.
Speaker Madigan sat on it. He didn't
right.
do anything. He didn't call it to a vote. Didn't
right.
didn't really even bring it up. And all along, the governor saying, "I'm going to veto it anyway."
Right.
And Republicans on both chambers not participating.
Yeah.
I feel at a certain point, you're like, well, you know, I guess the idea of going back down there is great for show.
Right.
But it seems like there needs to be a lot more. There needs to at least be an all staff that's sent out before they start negotiating again.
Well, there's a couple of important things. The first is that since all the last kerfuffle, Governor Rauner has come out and said, OK, I will sign these property tax. I'm sorry, not property tax, these sales tax and income tax increases. I will do that if you create a 4-year property tax freeze
right,
across
right.
the board for the state. Now, the Senate said, well, we'll do 2.
Right.
And the argument that they're making is, look, if you put it to 4, there's all these school districts, particularly in poorer parts of the state, that are just going to get hammered because they need to be able to increase it over time as there's changes in property values. And 4 years is just too long. It's too hard for them to manage. You know, I don't really know. You know, I was thinking about this on the way here, and one of the thoughts that I had was, well, you know, if the Democrats just went ahead and voted for a 4-year property tax increase or property
freeze.
Tax freeze, you know, they could go back and really do what they really want to do, which is come up with a different funding mechanism for schools at another time and just get them money in order to do that. I'm not sure what the thinking is among Democratic leaders. Do they think that that's never going to happen? Is it that the idea is a bird in a hand is better than two in the
yeah.
bush? I don't know. You know, I think that at some point we're really at a point where I honestly think that Rauner is never going to really give in. He's never really going to change. And I think that if the Democrats can just do this and declare a victory, that would be great. Rauner can declare a victory.
But here's, I mean, I guess at a certain point, is that all it's going to take? And are we down to the last thing when we talk about all the ideology and the turnaround and everything that's been put in place, that all that's stopping for a balanced budget in the state of Illinois is whether it's a 2-year or 4-year property tax freeze?
I think that's a pretty big one. The other is also, though, the amount of money that's going to schools. And there still is not really an agreement there. And that's a large portion of what the state does is fund education, primary and secondary
famously,
education.
Famously, it was said by one of Rauner's cabinet member.
Beth Purvis.
Said, it's 90% where we want it to be. It's just not there yet. And that was met with a lot of...
She's been jumped all over.
I mean, and you heard Mayor Emanuel got involved. Yeah. Others said, you know, that's politics, compromise. This is a great example of Governor Rauner. He doesn't compromise. He doesn't understand how politics works. I mean, is there any truth to that, to the idea that...
I think that the one truthful thing is that Beth Purvis said something dumb. I mean, I don't think that she really meant it, that it was 90% of the way there. I don't think that there's like a chart where like, oh, we're at 87. Hey, like everybody.
Like a thermometer, fundraising thermometer.
They have a fundraising thermometer in the governor's office, and they're working to fill each of those things in. I don't think that's the case. I think that she was using a term of a speech that I think she shouldn't have used, you know. And... Hey,
but I mean, what she said was, we're almost there, but we're not there yet. What's standing in the way when it comes to school funding for it to be done? What is Governor Rauner looking for?
No, well, the big thing on school funding is that Chicago public schools need way more money than Bruce Rauner has been willing to talk about. And one of the things is that Bruce Rauner has not really addressed the fact that Chicago public schools have way, way, way more poor students than any other school district. And CPS needs to get way, way more money from the state, period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all this talk about, well, why can't CPS... The Chicago Tribune has been writing these asinine, ludicrous, stupid... I can't believe that people are paid to write these editorials where they've been saying, why can't CPS just have a balanced budget? Sure, why can't we just fire half the teachers in the school and give everybody 45... student classrooms. I mean, that's really what we're looking at here.
And Mike, to be fair to Chicago Public Schools, I mean, beyond maybe, I think, New York and L.A., I mean, it's the biggest school system in the country. It's not there's nothing comparable in the state of Illinois to how big Chicago Public Schools is.
No.
So you can understand why there is a need for more teachers, more resources, more money, because even if populations are changing, this still is above and beyond the biggest school system, not only in Illinois, but in the country.
I think the problems that CPS has at this point are really no longer of the magnitude where you should say, oh, man, you know, you should be able to cut $150 million. Easy, no problem, let alone the billion-dollar deficits that CPS has. CPS has a billion-dollar annual structural operating deficit.
Is that mismanagement? And I want to say it because mismanagement goes hand in hand. Or is it pension?
Even pension stuff. I mean, you know, pension could be some part of it, but really the true issue is that CPS has not raised the taxes that it needs to raise. I mean, If you go down and you look at the budget and you look at how much money comes into CPS, CPS has not been able to raise the money that it needs to raise, either by raising its own property taxes because they're capped by the state, you're not allowed to raise them, or that the state gives money to CPS. And I want to say something that is really important that we've talked about a little bit in the past, but is worth noting, is that the Illinois Constitution says that the state of Illinois will be responsible for 50% of all education funding at primary and secondary level, which it has never done since the Constitution was passed, I think, in 1971. And so, you know, it's come close sometimes, but nowhere near in the last 10 years.
Mike Fouché is with the Daily Line. He joins us every Wednesday. It's Thursday, of course. He is accommodating my schedule. I appreciate that,
no,
Mike.
It's no problem, man. Yeah, anytime.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got to talk minimum wage and sick leave.
Sick leave.
And
sick
property taxes here in the city of Chicago. Mike Fouché, stay with us. Mike Fouché in studio, dailyline.net. Also the AlderCast, which can be heard on Fridays.
Yeah, tomorrow we have an interview with Police Board President Lori Lightfoot.
Oh, great.
And that's coming up tomorrow. Be able to listen to my interview with her.
Okay, let's quickly get into the topics that we still have to talk about. I want to talk about consent decree. This story continues to be one that is a thorn in Mayor Emanuel's side, where it seems, you know, we talked about police reform. He kind of threw out an idea that wasn't a consent decree. I think everyone was going to go for it, an agreement. But more, you're seeing criticism and people coming out against that. And now the probably the biggest criticism comes from one of his own Democrat allies in Attorney General Lisa Madigan.
Yeah. So the original idea was is that what had been talked about when the city of Chicago had these meetings with DOJ back in January is that the city of Chicago would seek to get a consent decree in order to reform the police department. A consent decree would be that there's an agreement that's made, that's ironed out, and then a judge blesses it. And then there's an enforcement mechanism.
You know, how we do politics now.
Right, exactly.
It's all by judge.
Right, always a judge.
Yeah.
And then there's some enforcement mechanism where there's a person, a monitor, or a group that has the ability to force the city to make changes over a period of time, which is what was done in Los Angeles after the Rodney King beatings, and then also the Rampart scandal, and in New Orleans and Baltimore and Cleveland. And they were very effective, and it made a real difference in terms of how the cities pursued reform. Well, we now have a Department of Justice head up by Jeff Sessions, who basically has said, you know, really, police departments should no longer have to be under the thumb of the federal government anymore. So, you know, we don't want to be involved in this sort of oversight. And it doesn't really seem like Rahm Emanuel is really crazy about having a consent decree anyway, because that means that somebody else is going to be poking around inside of his police department, and he's going to have to be listening to somebody else.
So he comes
else.
Up with an idea that's reform-based, but not
really. Not right. really. It's right. not reform. I mean, he basically is negotiating this agreement on his own and then proposing it to DOJ, which is actually backwards. Usually the DOJ says, this is what the agreement's going to look like.
Right.
You know, you're going to go with it. City of Chicago.
I mean, in a certain way, I mean, that's where we're at with the Chicago Police Department, in the way that we had a Department of Justice report. It seemed like at the point where the federal government's going to dictate the terms of the contract. But
and
not
so,
so
now we have a new administration, and that's really not the case.
All right. So let's. But so what did Attorney General Lisa Madigan
say? So Lisa Madigan
got to go in
so
on this.
So Rahm has said, well, I'm just going to do this agreement, and, you know, it'll be whatever it is that I want. Lisa Madigan has said, no. You need to have a consent decree, and if you don't seek a consent decree, then I'm going to sue you. She threatened to sue him, and that she had a face-to-face meeting with him yesterday on Wednesday afternoon, and it's my understanding that it was not great for Rahm Emanuel.
That's a good one.
She was very, very stringent, and, you know, he has got no leverage over her whatsoever.
Well, that's one that I think that you guys, I don't want to be your, I'll be your editor, Mike, but from
thanks.
Here on
yeah,
out,
tell
just
me about
Lisa Madigan, Rahm Emanuel fights.
Like, wouldn't that be gonna, interesting?
Yeah, that should be your, yeah, new, open up a new section.
He's got zero leverage over her and, you know, political leverage, I mean. And she has made it pretty clear that she wants to see a consent decree. Now, they have the ability, they have the resources and the team in order to be able to sue the city and force it into a consent decree. There's already a suit that was put out by a group of activists, but, you know, I don't really think they have the resources in order to do this.
All right, moving on quick. We only got a couple minutes here. I'm fascinated. We're going to talk more about this on the download about the push for Cook County. Commissioners voted in a new law for July 1st that would essentially make the minimum wage go up in not only Chicago, but other suburban Cook County municipalities.
Cook.
And also sick leave to make it mandatory 5 days. They had one little caveat, which was you could opt out if your municipality votes against
out.
It. And now that we're getting closer to the date, the story's becoming that a third of Cook County municipalities have opted out.
Yeah.
And more seem to be voting on it. And this idea that what is a simple, I mean, really, when you look at it, an $8.25 to $10 move on the minimum wage, there is a backlash in this area.
Yeah.
Mostly from Republican-leaning areas of Cook County.
Right. And I don't think that's a surprise. I mean, in a lot of these places, you've got a few businesses that have a lot of leverage over the town boards. And, you know, the politics, you know, you get into like towns like Palatine or Barrington or whatever. Yeah. It's not like they can really resist the local businesses that much, because the local businesses really
they're the tax base. Right.
So I think that that it shouldn't be a surprise, and you know we'll probably see a few more of these. But I think also over time, as time goes by, I think that it's going to become increasingly valuable for these places to have, especially the sick leave aspect. It's going to be very hard in order to find good workers that if you're not giving them sick leave, and also the minimum wage,
well,
a higher minimum wage.
There's, I mean, this ties into our last segment, which is, you know, the Chamber of Commerce was in the Sun-Times, Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, talking about, hey, this is a cumulative effect. Cook County has raised taxes on everything from sales tax to beverage to all the way down the line. This is now you want to do the minimum wage and sick leave. And you think about the property tax increases 10% for the city of Chicago, that it's that really it's a pushback on the idea that the governments of our area are taxing more and taxing more and taxing more. And frankly, people are sick of it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, there's plenty of other places that have a lot more taxes. You know, and actually, I've seen studies that show that Illinois, overall for businesses, it's less expensive to conduct business in Illinois than it is in Wisconsin and Iowa and Indiana, if you can believe it. But, you know, there's studies that go the other way, too. And then there's also plenty of places like New York State and New England and California that even have even higher taxes, and they still seem to have plenty of businesses. I think it's a question of whether or not you're able to get a good workforce in order to be able to do what you need them to do in order for them to be productive. And I think productivity is really kind of the big issue.
Mike, my last point as we wrap up here, you know, the offices, I think it was, I forgot who it was, the Pappas or one of the offices said it's going to be 10% more for Chicago taxpayers on the property tax increase for the next year. Is that it? Are we done? Or
no.
Is that the
No. It's going to keep going up. It's going to go up and up and up because we already voted on a series of increased property tax increases in the city of Chicago in order to pay for these pensions. We voted for 4 years of property tax increases each step along the way.
So it's going to continue to
keep
same, same number pretty much for the next couple of years, 10%?
No, 10%? Maybe more. I mean, I think that we should anticipate that property taxes are going to go up a lot in the city of Chicago. Maybe not so much in the suburbs, but you know, probably also there too. We can anticipate that property taxes are going to go up a lot. there's
anyway,
just no two ways about
cue
it.
Cue the bummer music.
I know. Hey,
back.
But that's why I like the happy stuff, right? You know, I kind of like what I feel inside is different than what's on the outside.
Mike Fouché from The Daily Line joins us every week here on The Download. You can check out the podcast, Aldercast, tomorrow, interview with Lori Lightfoot.
That's right.
GM+. Mike, good to see you.